Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that a lot of them are very much, you know, been listening to since Black Phillip, right?
Yeah, going back almost 15 years.
And what's interesting even about that is that I didn't realize that we kind of invented this whole red pill thing. Yo, what's up? On this episode, we talk about how I believe that we invented the red pill movement. We talk about why some people seek out abusive relationships, the importance of being responsible to what you say and do, how you can impact someone's life in a very small and easy way. We discuss a bunch of stuff, and I go into a couple of theories and some stuff that went down at the Skank Fest, and it was dope.
Yeah, we also talk about the responsibility that we have when we're doing consultations, and speaking of which, if you need a consultation, you can get one from me. You can hit me up via email, advicefromharry@gmail.com. And I will help you with whatever relationship or life advice you need. We can set up rates for a consultation. If you want Dante's, you can go to DanteNero.com and click on consult, correct?
Yep.
Right. And also, if you want to help out the show in a different way, join us over at Patreon.com/Manschool202. That's where we do all the bonus content. That's where we do the listener mail. And that helps us a lot because, you know, if you sign up to support us with a monthly fee, that helps us keep the show rolling. And it helps keep this side of the show rolling. And we appreciate you no matter what. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Love y'all.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
Better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, 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 what's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Harry, what's going on, bro? Ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely, I'm ready to rock and roll. You know me, I'm just out here trying to live my best life. And then I found out the other day, I'm not trying. Apparently, I'm doing it.
Crazy.
I'm living my best life. This whole time, I thought I was trying.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm good. I just got back from Skank Fest.
Oh, how was that? How was Skank Fest?
Nice. The fans are fucking amazing. I have this. Never met a bunch of people more into comedy than
yeah.
Those. Yeah, very much. A lot of fans of the show. A lot of dudes telling me I changed their lives, saved their lives. A dude came up to me. He was like, "I'm married. I got a four-month-old baby." And it's all due to, you know, you talking to me. And I mean, a lot of them refer Black Phillip, you know, and what, you know, the original show, and some, and they listen to it now. And, you know, just it felt good. It was really, really cool that they were all into it, you know.
Nice, man. It's always good seeing fans and stuff in person. Like, because you forget, you broadcast these things. And then they just go out. We put them together and they just
shoot them out into space
and
into the abyss without thinking of how it affects people. And also it's interesting to hear a real life situation. Like, dude says, like, man, he showed me his baby. He had a 4-month-old baby. And
seeing the actual physical proof.
Show me
how it happened. I want to know that your jizz worked, that we got it working into the eggs, the whole thing.
Step by step, showed me the sonogram.
Yeah.
Then the lock
of hair.
All of it. Show me some of his wife's pussy hair. No,
yeah.
She ain't show me his pussy hair. But because that would be weird. I mean, that she's got pussy hair.
That would be, yeah. Though that's where your problem is. She shouldn't have any is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just nice. I mean, countless. And it really, really surprised that you'll actually talk to them, you know?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they, you know, they put you on this kind of pedal. And when it comes down to it, I'm a regular dude. Mm. I'm a regular dude with 16 furs. I mean, come on. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Everybody has
you
that.
You put your leather pants on one leg at a time, like everybody
right,
else.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. That's the thing people don't understand. You put a mink fur on one arm at a time, like everyone else. That's it.
I put my dolphin boxers on one leg at a time. You know what I mean? So it is.
So
if
the dolphin, it would be the dolphin skin. You would have boxers.
Yeah, you skin the dolphins.
That's supposed to keep you warm or keep you cool? I don't know how that would work.
It keeps you dry.
Oh, because it's water resistant.
Yeah, yeah.
It's from a dolphin. Gotcha.
There you go. Well, I mean, you know, I don't tell nobody.
What's the weirdest thing you bought animal wise? I know you like the furs and stuff. What's the weirdest one?
I guess my eel skin jacket.
An eel skin jacket. Damn, that's got to be a lot of eels for one jacket.
A lot of eels. But I mean, it's a shit. If it's a bear skin, if I got a bear skin, it's a couple of bears.
I guess, but at least, you know, I don't know how many eels you'd have to. I feel less bad about the eels because as human beings, we are less sad about the animals that are not cute or that we can't pretend are in a cartoon. So
they don't have big brown eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
here's a weird thing that I thought about the other day. Maybe you can. I forget that monkeys and chimpanzees, they're herbivores. Herbivores, right? They don't eat meat. Do they eat meat?
Yeah, they eat meat. They eat each other.
Monkeys and chimpanzees? See, I didn't know this.
They will eat each other, bro.
Will they actually eat or will they rip each other apart?
They will rip each other apart and eat each other.
This is interesting. Now, I could have looked that up, but instead I just asked you.
Yeah, that's what you do a lot. You just ask me questions because then I got to go look it up.
Yeah.
Because I am your Google, not unlike your dad.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
You're more accurate, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I got that. I do have that. You know, that thing that I think that's my compulsive disorder that I got to know.
OCD, you need to know the answer for it.
Yeah. It was really good to meet the fans. Really, really good to meet the fans. Sometimes you also don't know how far your reach is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people listen. I mean, because we do this as you know, like we do this pretty religiously. We've been doing this 9 years. You know, in the internet, it lasts forever. And I really, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that a lot of them are very much, you know, been listening to since Black Phillip, right?
Yeah, going back almost 15 years.
Yeah, 2006.
Yeah.
And what's interesting even about that is that I didn't realize that we kind of invented this whole red pill thing, this whole red pill movement. You know, when you talk about what's the guy named Andrew Tate and and what's his name? Kevin Samuels and
our Lord and Savior, Kevin Samuels. No name above that name. No name above that name.
You know, even, you know, Sneeko's a fan of the show, but like he's heavy in the fit and fresh.
Yeah. Those are all little, the coaching tree, they call it in football.
Yeah, preaching Abba.
Yeah.
And all those guys were listening to that. They were listening to that show and you know, what Patrice and I was talking about at that point in time. And it's interesting, too, because I feel like, you know, it's evolved. And I think sometimes I like these guys are grabbing on to pieces of it that we've already kind of moved past
with this show. Yeah, for sure. How does that make you feel or the impact? Because some of it is really good stuff that makes sense. And then some people take it and go they go real far out there and it becomes just aggressive hate.
I did not know. How should I put this? I didn't. So, you know, my whole involvement with the Proud Boys and stuff. I actually got a kid that ran up under me from the Proud Boys. And so this is interesting.
Wait, this during Skankfest or this is?
Yeah, during Skankfest. During Skankfest.
Yeah.
And so he kind of kicked it to me like, you know, Uhuru, which was a call. I'm not even sure why or whatever. But, you know, I had moved myself away from that from some quite soon as it went
several years ago.
Yeah, when it went racial and stuff, it's just like unlike.
Well, it started just because some people don't know. Give a brief summary of how that happened, because it started out with you were hanging out with Gavin McGinnis, who at the time was kind
and
of building.
We weren't even hanging out. This is early on in the podcast boom. And he was doing a podcast. I forget. It's called Free Speech or Get Off My Lawn or something like that. Something. And
well, unfortunately for Gavin gets fired every at least once a year or something from whatever platform. So he has to constantly relabel the thing and start over with a new platform or show.
And I knew that he was doing this thing, and there was a lot of young white dudes who I feel as though like this whole the whole incel thing started blowing up, and there was all these young white dudes who felt disenfranchised and felt as though that women they weren't getting their fair shake with women and all kinds of stuff, and it's just a grievance, you know, just like male grievance about how they're being treated by women. And I went on his show to basically help people. I mean, that's always been my thing in general is like, you know, how can I help people? How can I help people? Whereas I believe in a lot of cases, a lot of people, their intention aren't necessarily pure. It's maybe they want to help, but for the most part, it's usually there's a marketing thing about it, which is, I guess, dumb on my part, because I mean, I could have. But it becomes about this personality, like, you know, he's top G, Andrew Tate and Kevin Samuels, who was basically a dude who was a stylist and and these guys who just recognized that doing this and being obnoxious about what they do is
it's a brand. I mean, it draws
eyes.
It
sells more.
Yeah,
it
sells a lot more. Yeah.
I realize that
we could definitely be making a lot more money if we were less credible about what we did and how we did it.
Yeah.
But it's just not what we want to do. Like, it's not what I want to do.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that. I mean, it's funny. I was doing a Sirius Radio and I remember they were interviewing Stephen A. Smith. And, Stephen A. Smith is a controversial figure because some people like him. A lot of people don't like him. But I really feel like he's a dude who has figured out a way to make money off of people hating him, just like they make money off of people loving him.
Controversy creates cash. It creates a lot of buzz. Yeah. For whatever reason, people like to tune into negativity a lot more than they tune into positivity. It's just more intriguing.
Which is also one of the principles that I understand more than anything is like when you look at these women and they're calling Kevin Samuels, even though a lot of what he was saying is true, you know, it's he's spitting facts. But a lot of them, there's you know, women are under certain trauma. I mean, we all have a certain level of trauma that we're dealing with. And when you're under a level of trauma, you put yourself in a situation so that you can experience that trauma over and over and over again. And I realized that they, you know, when you're under this trauma and you've been treated like crap your whole life, you expect, it doesn't feel right if you're not getting that from somebody. When it doesn't feel right when somebody's respecting you or talking to you,
you're not used to it, is what you're saying. If you grow up in an environment where things are so chaotic or where you're abused, you almost can't fathom the idea of somebody treating you righteously and nicely, and it becomes problematic for you to deal with because you're not used to that,
and you don't think that you deserve it.
Correct. Yeah. You don't think you deserve it. And then you wonder what's wrong with the other person.
An affinity to what you're accustomed to because it feels normal. Years ago, Patrice and I used to talk about the whole idea of brackish fish. I'll go over that real quick. It's where we would have, he had this huge fish tank, 400 gallon fish tank. And he wanted fish that was sturdy, but, you know, like beautiful, like colorful and aggressive and stuff. So he didn't want to go the iced tea thing where he put sharks in his, you know, under his, behind his couch and shit. So he got these African cichlid fish in Tanzania. And the fish live in this water that's very, has a lot of bacteria in it. There's an African tribe around there. They shit in it. They pee in it. So it's not, you know, it's not like we're talking about, they don't have a power plant that cleanse their water. And the fish live in that water. And so when you buy these fish, right, very aggressive fish, they're probably more aggressive than piranhas, but they don't feed in schools. So they don't, you know, they just won't all team up and beautiful, beautiful fish. But when you get the fish tank, you have to have a certain amount, because it's part salt and it's part fresh water. But
it's very also different from most fish. It's a very specific way.
Bacteria too.
Yeah. Well, because the fish were dying and Patrice didn't understand why. And
well, he didn't know. They weren't dying because he just picked the fish and he had a guy who was taking, he had a guy that was taking care of the fish for him.
Right.
He paid a guy to come in and clean the tank and service it. So the guy always made sure that the guy was charging him something like $49 a month and whatever. And one day he was short a little money, like $9. And the guy said he needs his $9. He was like, he didn't want to take it the next time around. And so Patrice went in a change bottle and counted out $9 in nickels, right? And he was just so angry that he fired the dude. Mm. So you fuck this, I'm gonna do it myself. So what happened was he the water was too clean. And when he put these aggressive,
the water that most of the fish are able to swim in fine was too clean for this particular fish.
And the fish were actually like frozen. Like they weren't moving. They weren't swimming. It looked like his whole fish tank looked like a painting, right? And then some of them died. Some of the fish died. Lost a couple of the fish, and they're pretty expensive fish to get in some cases. You realize, you know, the thing that just kind of clicks in your head is that they're so accustomed to the aggressiveness of this water, the toxicity of this water, to not be in this toxic environment is painful to them, almost to the point where some of the fish actually died from swimming in clean water. And so if you're in a relationship,
in human terms, that somebody who grows up in an abusive relationship can't function in a non-abusive relationship because that's what they're used to breathing in, basically.
It's unfamiliar.
Mentally. Like
respect and somebody having empathy for you and stuff is stuff that is a feeling that's uncomfortable to you, so that you literally get to a point where you're longing for that. And I've actually been in relationships with women have been in very toxic situations where they will create a problem, even when there's not a problem. They will make a problem, or they will do things that self-sabotage.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So it's just like, it's a weird concept when you think that the kindness and goodness with somebody who is not accustomed to having that is literally poison to them in a sense. You know, they have a reaction, almost an allergic reaction to that. And they respond with a need to create chaos, you know?
Yeah. And that's one of those concepts you guys talked about on the Black Phillip show.
I guess it
could lead to, probably did lead to the Red Pill movement to a degree, or it impacted
it absolutely did. They quote it all over. They've all quoted it. They've all talked about it. Not necessarily talked about it in terms of me, because I wasn't as famous, but they absolutely quoted Patrice and stuff that we had talked about. And when people listen to the show now, I do get guys that were like, I kind of always kind of aligned with your thinking a little bit more because, you know, Patrice was a little more angry. But I also, I had my own trauma, but I didn't have an abuse from women, because there's an attractiveness. I mean, like, I was classically, when I was younger, I was in shape, had the six pack, had the cum gutters and all of that. And it was, so women didn't really get me. They weren't. Because women, when they're unattracted to you, it's ugly how obvious and how honest they can be about being unattracted to you. To the same token, if you're the person that they're pursuing and you reject them, instantly you're gay. It's literally, how could you not want to fuck me? And because I don't like you, I don't think you're attractive.
It gets cold real quick.
Yeah. And it's not only get cold, but there has to be a justification for why I don't want to fuck you. So I remember going through that a lot in my youth, but for the most part, I never really was lonely, never didn't have a bunch of chicks checking for me, whatever. And it was, it made like life easier also because your standards are lower. I mean, I remember when I started stripping and I felt like, women were really coming at me. I was fucking a lot of awful chicks that I would never think about fucking, that weren't even up to par. But I just felt like it was my obligation. You need dick, I'm supposed to provide it, you know?
So you were like the Johnny Appleseed, but just with dick.
Yeah.
I got to spread my dick everywhere.
Yeah, just charity, just a lot of charity work. I mean, not hideous, but. Some sixes and stuff where I fives and sixes that I probably wouldn't. I mean, I probably would have did a two fives together sometimes, but that's neither here nor there. Things I wouldn't do now. And so watching the evolution of it and how it lives in infamy, those things we said, and it lives in infamy, which is a scary thing, because when you talk about something like the Proud Boys, you start to realize that what you say and what you teach. I mean, literally, I was one of the founders of the Proud Boys, and now it's considered a terrorist and white supremacist. I mean, it's so, just to think that I was on the base. Look, the ground level of that
before it morphed into something else. You didn't intentionally help found a white supremacist.
Not at all.
Terrorist group.
My.
Oops. Accidents happen, Dante. Oops, my bad.
Did I do that? You know, like it's like.
My
bad. It starts to make you. it starts to make you realize. And so from that, I realized that
I got to think about that, by the way, next time I fuck up and go, all right, well, I mean, at least I didn't accidentally start a white supremacist group.
Use my failure as a way to make you feel good. I'm here for you, Harry. I'm here for you. But you realize how important it is, especially within this day and age, with the way internet is and the way things live forever. You not only got to be honest. I mean, I mean, to be honest, a lot of the stuff is how I felt at the time. But even the stuff that I thought had a good balance to it, you cannot just speak your honesty and truth when people listen to you. There's a responsibility that I realize, and I don't think other people realize that, because every time I watch CNN or I watch, you know, something, and they're talking about the Proud Boys, I'm like, yo, I birthed that. I helped birth that. And my intention was only good. My intention was to be good. And I realized that your intentions, it just doesn't, honesty and being intentive is not enough. You also have to think about how people who will twist things,
or how they'll take that information and what they'll
do with
the information. Yeah, yeah.
Twist proof almost.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Look, Albert Einstein split the atom.
Yeah.
And then they figured out how to make an atomic bomb with it.
And he was literally, one of the things that he said, that Albert Einstein said, this is one of the worst things he ever did, was split that. You know, it's just like, because
I like that he said it's one of the worst things. I would love to know what else is on that list.
He did a lot of,
I mean, one of the things I regret, if I'm going to list it, probably helping create the atomic bomb.
But, you know, also move science ahead in such a way. But I think people take things, and I think you have a responsibility to make sure that whatever it is you do, you make it unbendable. Like, so that if somebody co-opts your message, they co-opt your message in a way that you can say, well, what about the empathy? You know?
Yeah.
And they go, well, how is that? How is what you're saying his philosophy when you're
not just including all of it? Yeah.
You didn't you included pieces of it.
You're cherry picking. Yeah.
So it's a really interesting thing when you talk about responsibility, and when you're marketing this to people, when it's a brand, when it becomes a brand, the brand becomes more important than the integrity, consistency of the brand.
Well, there's a danger there. You have that. When you say you have a responsibility, technically they don't. You know, you choose to have that responsibility because you want to be a righteous person. That's why we do the podcast the way we do. And we try to make everything, you know, listen, I still, when I do consultations and stuff, every once in a while I'm like, oh, okay. I find out that somebody kind of twisted something that we said, not intentionally, but like, oh, they viewed it with a little bit of an angle that we have to make clear.
Yes.
Because sometimes people take things either out of context, or they take a specific aspect of it and go in a different direction. But we give a shit about that. But there's people online, Andrew Tate in particular, saying some egregious shit. And it bugs me, because you go, there's somebody who doesn't know what they're doing taking this information, and it is wrong information. Just, and it's not righteous. And I'm not saying all of it. I don't follow him like extensively, but I mean, one time he was talking about that he can cheat on his he can sleep around with other women and she can't, and that's just the way it is. Not in the sense of this is the agreement we made, but this is what it is because I'm a man and she's a woman.
Okay, when you say that,
yeah.
Clear that up, because even that, as much as you're explaining it, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But this is exactly what. So this is it. You know, I don't know if the fans understand this, that one of the reasons why, you know, Harry started doing consultations, and why when you talked to me about it in the first place, is it's almost like after you get your black belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have so there's something that I say, and I don't know if I say it enough, because I did a consultation last week, and I I mentioned these things, and one of them was that true wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts, how they relate to situations that seem irrelevant but really are not. And I say that often. I don't say it clearly enough. And I think also because when I do say it, people don't really understand what I mean, and they don't care. They don't ask. Like, I have to also understand that everybody's not like me. If you ask me something and I don't know it, I'm going to Google it and research it and make it. So I've said that many times, and I realize that somebody who's been listening to us, somebody who did some consultations, which have been listening to me, I've been consulting with me for years. Maybe not years, but a good amount of time, and has listened to the show for a long time, didn't even know what that means. Harry, do you know what I mean by that?
Which phrase?
The true wisdom. True wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts, how it relates to situations that seem irrelevant, but really are not.
Well, it's that the same sort of thinking and pathology in your brain, the logic that you use for one thing can be related to another thing. So the same set of disciplines that you bring into a relationship can be applied to your business career and vice versa, even though that doesn't appear obvious up front. But keeping your word is an important part of your business just as much as it is a part of your relationship.
Exactly.
It's just that we never conflate the two
conflate would be to mix it when it shouldn't be mixed.
Right. So, fair enough. Yeah.
So I would think
we never associate the two. We always think of the two things as different, which is why there's huge problems. Like how many intelligent, like, for example, a thing with women, how many intelligent women who are successful at business do you know that are have lousy relationship histories?
Right.
Because they're not connecting it. Same thing with guys. There's plenty of guys who are successful. How many guys do we know that are successful making millions and they don't have any management or control of what's going on in their personal life or their relationships because they don't carry it the same way?
I literally say all.
Yeah.
What's interesting is all. Like, I very rarely know anybody that has it figured out on both ends of it. You know, and then you hear rumor of guys who, like, high level dudes. I mean, you're talking multimillionaire dudes who have these problems who don't even understand this. Let me back up. One of the things about you, what I thought was important about you doing consultations is because even before you started doing paid consultations, people would ask you questions and stuff that. And then you would give them an answer and I would go, no, yes, but no. Meaning, yes, you're on the right track, but yes, no, you're not all the way there. Like, it's not like the optimum.
That's a portion of it that's accurate, but there's more further. There's more information or there's more technique involved.
I guess I could say, you know, that people say there's no right answers. Everybody does things the way they want to do. No, there is a right answer. The right answer is the most optimum way in which if I say, and it's interesting how as I'm getting older, I'm starting to see how all these things that I say lead into the other. So something I say all the time, you hear me say this all the time, that time is the commodity. What does that mean? Time means that without time, you have nothing. Our lives are finite. And the fact that our lives are finite mean that you only have a certain amount of time to make the best of this life.
Sure.
And if you are doing it half-assed, you are wasting time because you won't live the best version of your life until you do it all the way right, not just mostly right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Something else I say, which relates to this, is that if you are 85% trustworthy, you're still untrustworthy. The definition of you being untrustworthy is not being trustworthy all the time. And I understand I'm taking into with the reasonable perspective that everything is not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So people make mistakes. But what we literally have to be able to say, for you to say that I have a friend and he's trustworthy, what you have to be able to say is they tell the truth all the time. They are always credible, not some of the time, not 80% of the time, not 15, not even 90% of the time, all the time. Now, I do understand that there are exceptions to the rule, which is the same thing when you come into a relationship. Like, truth has to be ultimate. It has to be your intent has to be built in truthfulness. And so once you get your black belt in this, it is, you can really have a good life and you can survive doing 50% of what you know is right.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe even less than that, because if we think about the guys that we know that are rich, that rich and have money and if credible and show up and whatever, and then in their relationship, they're in relationships that are miserable and they're dishonest about the fact that they're miserable. Maybe even less than that, maybe 35, 40% of, if you do it, you can still live a pretty decent life. But in order for you to live your best life, you have to revisit those principles over and over and over again. There's not a good enough answer. There's the best answer. You and I, we used to talk about this a lot when I would say, when your hypothetical situation, you go out on a date and a woman is not being appreciative of all that you're doing. And you get to the point where you just don't like how you're being treated. You go, listen, I'm done with this. I'm not really comfortable with this. I'm not having a good time. And I don't want to continue to spend my time, my energy, my money on somebody who doesn't appreciate what I'm doing, right? Most guys, in order to be nice, will say, I don't want to waste your time. And I don't want to waste my time.
Just to jump in there, that would be the equivalent of, that would probably still get you a good result.
Sure.
50% of the time, because that's maybe still even jarring. More than that. Jarring. Yeah, you're right. But black belt, going to be the best you can be, and you cut right to the chase. My time. Because
I don't want to waste my time.
My time. Yeah.
Because, and why is that? Why is that disingenuous? Why is it saying I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want you to waste my time?
Because you're lying. Because that's not what you're concerned about. You're concerned about your time. You just don't want to hurt the other person's feelings.
And there's no reason for you to be, because you're not trying to waste her time.
Yeah.
You are in there. You're in this trying to meet somebody, being present. You've made the date. Your pocket is full of money, or your car, there's money in the bank account. You're ready to spend time, energy, and so on and so forth to find out if this is the person you want to spend time with and want to be with. And they're being difficult. And because they're being difficult, you have decided that this is no longer worth it to you.
Being difficult, or they're being rude, or they're just being themselves, which is not what you want.
Could be all of those things. Could be difficult, rude, unappreciative, selfish, whatever. I mean, and I'm talking about this from a masculine perspective, but it's either side. If somebody is not appreciating you, and what happens overall is you want to soften the cushion. You don't want to be honest, but being partially honest is lying. There's no other way to put it. You either are honest or you're not. And so you say something like, I don't want to waste your time, which is, you don't really care about your time. First, you don't care about her time. You are there, present. You're not wasting your time. The fact that you're out on this date means that you're trying to be there. She is the culprit. She is the one that, or if you're a woman, he is the culprit. He is the one that's not moving in good faith. And so for you to say, I don't want to waste your time, somebody who's treating you like that doesn't care about your time. And that's really what the point is. And so to say, I don't care, I don't want you, I will not let you waste my time, is important because it communicates to this person, A, that you're worthy of whatever you get, that you understand what your importance is, how important it is to you, and that you're not going to tolerate some nonsense from somebody who doesn't respect you. And to be honest, it's fine that they don't respect you. There's people that don't respect people all the time. The point is that you just don't give those people access. And what we have done in the society is we created a situation where shitheads get to be shitheads. And everybody tiptoes around them as if we don't know that they're shitheads. Instead of being honest about what it really is.
People sell themselves, are willing to sell out emotionally so quickly. So for guys, it's about getting laid. So you sell out all your integrity in order to get laid. In business, you sell out your integrity in order to make a deal so it makes you money. You know, people, that's the difference, is when you don't sell those things out, you in theory lose, but you don't lose. You win because you don't have to deal with the nonsense. And what you get is a better quality of business or life, whatever.
Better quality of life. And so even when I was really thinking about talking to you about doing consultations, you are now responsible. You are responsible for these people.
Oh, yeah. I feel that. By the way, I have to do follow-ups, which is on my list of like things I got to get done. There's people who've hit me up that are going through treatment, drugs and alcohol treatment. There's people dealing with family members that have passed away, and I want to hit them back up and go just to check in and go, are you, you know, I haven't heard from you in a bit. Like, I take that seriously because this is a person who's putting a portion of their life in my hands.
Yeah.
And if I give the wrong thing and I say the wrong thing, that could really send somebody, especially somebody who's going through treatment, could send them off on a spiral if I say the wrong thing. So I take that very preciously, very significantly.
And I think it also, the other thing is it you go, how could I tell this person to do this? Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing it myself.
Yeah.
It is like talking to people and telling people what to do and how to do it and what your experience is. So this is a symbiotic, relationship, because
that's a TI word.
You giving me autonomy. There's another one for you. You giving me autonomy over your life. What do I do? How do I fix this? If you give me autonomy and you let me drive, I can't drive the car off the cliff. I cannot be reckless about what I do. And one of the things that when I was at Skankfest, it was just really interesting how readily people are, first of all, how people are so frustrated and they're so helpless in a way, that they're so willing to just relinquish the control to people, to your Andrew Tate, to your Kevin Samuels, to people who say, I have the answers. I mean, because people are sheep. I want to talk about that too. So remind me my 95, just remind me 95 and 5.
95 and 5, okay.
Yeah. So how willing, and
well,
then
people are desperate. It's not even, you know, for me, I think when you're in a desperate place and you're hurting, you look for answers to make the pain go away. And if you're not, you know, relationships and wanting to date, there is a form of hurt, a loneliness that comes from it. And I experienced that in my younger days. It's a lonely feeling. It's a sad feeling to not be loved. So when that happens, people get desperate and they look for the answers. And sometimes the way people package things, it becomes like a very appealing answer. But if you delve deep, you realize it's just the packaging. It's just the marketing.
Yeah.
And that there's a danger to that, because that's no different than a cult. That's the same thing when you look for answers and you end up in a cult.
And you end up, and then you're just following along. And this is so. So another thing I say is show me the work. You got to show me the work. Hmm. What I mean by that is, if you when you were young and you were it's a student in school and you're doing math, like doing, polynomials or whatever you're doing, linear equations, and the teacher would say, show me the work. Show me how you got to this point, right? Show me how you got the answer. And the importance of showing me the work is that it's a way of proofing yourself. It's a way of knowing that you're on the right track. Because if there's some kind of inconsistency, inconsistencies what you're saying, you will see it when you go back over it.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, I was just thinking about all the things that I need to start. I need to codify all these little statements, and I need to, I'm writing my book now, and I need to codify them, what they mean, because once you have these statements and you really understand these statements, you literally can do it. You can come up with the answers on your own. I know I'm probably putting myself out of business, because then they don't have to ask me because they have the principles. People do think, oh man, I got this girl and she's long distance, and I got this other girl that lives in my town, and I'm acting like, and she thinks I'm in this relationship and we're really close, but she's far away, and I need the comfort of having a woman in my own town, and I'm like, well, you gotta say that. I mean, is it really unreasonable to say that? I don't think so.
No.
The problem is you think you're going to lose one, or you think by being honest, you think you're going to lose one, when the reality is 99% of the time you don't.
No.
Because what you're saying in the process of you saying, here's the truth, and that I'm worth the truth, that I'm worth not having a long distance relationship that is unsatisfying, you go, I'm worthy of happiness, and this is how I feel, and this is what's going on with me. But people don't want to let go because they don't feel like they have the value.
People don't feel they have the value, so they don't want to bet on themselves. So right. they play not to lose.
Yeah.
Is what they ultimately do. So you try to play the safe game so that you don't end up losing. But what you do is you settle for a lesser quality of life or a lesser quality of relationship when you do that, or lesser quality of happiness.
And it's interesting, because I remember I wouldn't be around you, and you would be running into your friends, and they would, they have a situation, and you would be tossing advice around. This was before doing consultations. And then sometimes you call me up, yo, check this out. I'm not really sure about this.
Yeah.
This is what's going on. What's the dynamic? What's happening and stuff? And you would check back with me. But now, when somebody has paid you to consult with them, they are open. They are literally handing you the keys.
Right.
And at that point, you have to go, okay, I got the keys. I need to be responsible for this. I need to be responsible, because now I'm responsible for this person. And I was just wondering if you feel that pressure in your own life, and if you feel that pressure when you're doing the consultation.
Oh, most definitely. One, the pressure is when you're talking to somebody who's in a vulnerable place, because if they're reaching out for a consultation, it's usually a situation that they need help with. And so,
and again, reason being, because guys don't, this is another saying, guys don't ask for directions. Because
guys don't ask for directions, but I will say this, a lot of the directions, even the guys that do ask for directions, the information out there is so useless and inconsequential, sure, because people are liars. So it's happy wife, happy life. That's all it's about. No, that's not what it's all about. And if that was in reverse, where you go, if you want a happy life, you better keep your husband happy, nobody would tolerate that. So it's one is that guys don't ask for directions. But even if guys do ask for directions and society made it okay for people to reach out and say they were hurt, even if they did reach out, a lot of the people aren't equipped and don't have that information, because most people don't operate they operate in a disingenuous fashion where they're lying to themselves about their relationships, where they don't bring up what they're unhappy with. They don't communicate properly on all that. So that's the one part is those guys, there is not a pool of good information for them to reach out to. But I do feel the pressure because I don't want to give these people the wrong information, number one, because it could impact their lives negatively.
And you could just cash the check.
Listen,
moving.
I talk for a living. I could fill up the hour with whatever bullshit I need to do. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I want to give them the proper advice, because I want to help them be happy as when I became happy with the advice that you gave me that saved my life by saving relationships. That made me happy. I want them to feel the same way. So I feel that pressure. But the second part that you're asking me as well, there are days where I'm like, man, I'm being lazy. And then I have a consultation and I go, I just told this guy that they have to get up and do this routine. I go, I got better get off my ass.
Yeah.
Because I literally just said things to this guy that I go, shit, I forgot that I have to follow that too.
Right.
Like, I can't. Was today my best day? Was I living my best? No, I wasn't. Now, I don't lay the five bricks the same way. I'm in a relationship now. But am I doing the same concept of laying the five bricks? Am I, for my career, am I
talking,
laying the five bricks?
Am I creating conversations? I mean, one of the things that I do every time I go out to eat, and I very rarely don't go out to eat, you know, I will ask, look my waitress in the mouth and the eyes and go, what is your name? And I introduce myself.
Let me
my
tell
name's
you
Dante.
Something. Just, mm-hmm. I don't mean to, I know I'm jumping in a lot here, but you're saying a lot of things.
I want you to jump in.
This Sunday, my girl and I were out of town. We went to a restaurant, and I always think of what you said, just, you know, be more conversational, be nice to people, be good. And I'm always nice to people, but I'm very quiet.
Yes.
I'm never mean to people. And when I do
speak,
I'm very nice.
And that can be perceived as whatever, because they put their insecurities on you.
Yeah. So the waiter comes over, he's doing his thing. We're at like a Bob Evans. We're on the road. And he's very nice, but he's just kind of doing his thing. He's just kind of, you know, he's very nice. I stop him and I go, what's your name, by the way? He's like, my name is Will. I go, my name's Harry. This is my girl. How you doing? Everything good? Very nice to him. And we just smile, always with a smile on my face, eye contact. At the end of the meal, like, you know, and every time he'd come over, can you do this for us? Thank you, Will. I really appreciate that, man. I'm sorry that's such a complicated order. Thank you. No rush on that, whatever. By the time we were done, before we left, Will said, hey, I just want to say, man, you guys, and my girl is huge on this. She's a big positivity person. I'm just, you know, she's not a public figure, so I don't go into the detail. Yeah. But she is super, very, always very nice, eye contact. By the time we were done, he goes, I just want to say, man, you guys were a ray of sunshine for me today. Like, he was just so happy because I saw everything around him was chaotic.
Yeah.
It was like the morning rush or whatever. And just to hear that. Now, that's not why I did it. I just did it because I want to be a good person. But you're like, God damn, I just impacted his day, even if it's for 5 minutes in a positive way. And that's something that you taught me with, like, communicating with people, try to impact their day. But it also made me feel better. Mm. It made me feel better to impact his day, and his energy made me feel better. It made my girl feel better. So I just wanted to throw that in because you've mentioned that before, and it literally just happened 2 days ago.
And to think about what little effort it took.
Sure, yeah.
And how extensively it affected somebody's life.
Yeah.
Is really, really interesting. It's a really interesting thing. I think that is so dynamic to me. But the other thing is true too. So We're gonna go into the Patreon.
Yeah, we are gonna have to go into.
Well,
I want to talk about.
I one of these Proud Boys. I met a Proud Boy, and he came up to me and he talked
at Skankfest. Yeah,
let's talk about it on the Patreon.
There we go. We got a cliffhanger, guys. Yeah, yeah. If you want to hear more about it, go over to patreon.com/manschool202. That's where we do the bonus content, and we're gonna reveal this story. And also, we do listener mail over there. We give a lot of advice and. People can connect with us and get advice and things like that. Also, since we brought it up, we're talking about consultations. If you want to get a consultation from me, reach out to me via email, advicefromharry@gmail.com. And you let me know what I can help you with in life, in relationships, whatever it is. We can set up the rates and do a phone consultation and get you to live a happier life. Because, man, there's nothing better than living a happy life. You know, it's not always perfect, but, man, it can always be better.
Yeah. Everything, you know, y'all can get my consultation, you know, DanteNero.com. Click on consult. Y'all know how to get me social media wise. Just Google me, bitch. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolutions being podcasted. I love y'all, man. I'm actually going through a transition myself in terms of how I want this show to be, and I appreciate you. Check us out on Patreon, man. Don't forget to follow the YouTube page, like and follow, share. Let's move this. Let's get this movement out there. I want you all to be a part of getting this movement out there, not something that's just marketed for the sake of marketing. Because this is the real, uncut.
The pure stuff. There's no baby stuff. Laxative in this.
Yeah,
how do I know that and why? That's none of your business.
How do I know that? Anyway, we're out.